Thank you, Carl, and thank you, team. What a great time in worship this morning. It is good to be with you. There are moments that we celebrate as a church, and there are moments that we mourn, and today we're going to do a little bit of both. A couple of updates I want to share with you. Many of you know, but for some of you that don't, one of the patriarchs of one of the families in our church, Bill Hood Sr., passed away this week at the age of 82. His entire family is here, and we are so glad that you are here. So well loved by so many people, and we are excited to be able to celebrate his life later this week on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in the chapel across the street. If you know the Hood family, they're very involved and invested, and we love them. We love you guys, Hoods, and we're excited to be able to celebrate with you. Also, last night, one of our longest tenured employees at the church here, Steve Bubar, passed away. Steve worked here for a long time, served diligently. If you look around, you will likely see something that he fixed or painted or built. His impact here has just been amazing. His smile, his joy, his kindness. We were just reminded this morning as we were talking. So Bubar family, Ruth, children, we are praying for you, Hoods. We are praying for you as well. We celebrate sometimes together, but sometimes we mourn even the difficult times. And that's what community, authentic community, is all about. And sometimes we mourn, but sometimes we also celebrate. And so we rejoice this morning that our head of school, Wendy Stapleton, is back with us. So many of us, Wendy, as you've been away for these last 6 weeks, praying for you, thinking of you, supporting you, and it is so good to see you back in person, just picking up right where you left off, and we're so thankful that you're here with us. Before we go any further, I would just like to pray at this point. God, we thank you for how good you are. We thank you for the gift of life, for the gift of salvation. We thank you that we are called your children and that you want what's best for us. And regardless of what we face, we know we can trust in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One detail I forgot to mention, Steve Bubar's funeral will be on Thursday. Visitation at 3, service at 4. So that is Steve Bubar this Thursday at 3 and 4. And then Bill Hood Sr. on Saturday at 11, both of them in the chapel. We invite you to be there. I can't think of a better thing to do at this moment than to turn to the Word of God in 2 Timothy, which I pray this morning will both encourage you and challenge you. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy, beginning in chapter 2, in verse 1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So many good things in this text that we're going to look at today. Remember Paul at this moment. These are some of the last things Paul says on earth. Paul in prison right now, literally chained up, writing these letters to Timothy, a young pastor, to encourage him and the people that are under his care. So he begins in verse 1, "You, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." There's a tenderness that he shares with. He refers to him as a child, like a son. Be strengthened by the grace of Christ Jesus. And as he shares this, this strength is not strength that's inside of Paul or inside of Timothy. Like, this isn't pull yourself up by your bootstraps type of strength. This is be strengthened by the grace of God. There is strength that we have because of Jesus and the grace, the gift, the free gift that we are given. So we are strengthened by this grace that is in Christ Jesus. We don't do it on our own. The answer is not in us. The answer is outside of us. It is Jesus. He is the answer for everything, and he is the strength. And I know so many of us in these moments feeling a lack of strength. If you're anything like me, you often feel like you just can't do it on your own. And the reality is that you can't. We are given this grace that gives us strength. And the reason that Paul's sharing this is because what he's about to say and what he's already been saying is going to require strength. Paul is saying, Timothy, what God is asking you to do is not something that you can do on your own. You're going to have to be strong. God is going to help you be strong, but you're going to have to endure these things as you are leading others and as you are sharing the good news with them. Be strengthened. So for us in this room, there's a reminder for us, and if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Christ followers, those of us that are following Jesus, Christ followers are saved and strengthened by grace. Christ followers are both saved. This grace that we've received, this free gift that we can't get ourselves, this grace is what saves us, for it is by grace we have been saved. But this grace is not just a one-time event. This grace is what strengthens us every single day. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We are saved and strengthened by this grace. What does this mean? This means we live every day with God. We pray, we read his word, we obey his word, we meet together with others so that we can encourage each other. We are saved and strengthened by this grace. We then see him say, and what you have heard from me, so this is Paul talking to Timothy, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men that they may be able to share it, teach it with others. You might look at this text and go, well, this is just for pastors, right? This is just for people like you to share it with others. And I would say, absolutely not. That is true, that is what's happening here. There is an element of teaching happening, but that's not the only thing that's going on. You also are to teach others, to lead others. Many of you volunteering in our ministries, leading a group, leading in our kids ministry, in our Boca student ministry, you are doing what this says. And I want you to see this in verse 2. There are four handoffs, and if you blink, you'll miss it. There's such a beautiful progression here. Let's track it. So God sharing these words, sharing this message with Paul. Paul, who shares with Timothy right here, who is supposed to entrust this message to faithful teachers who will then share it with others who will be able to teach also. Do you see all four of those? This is not something that Paul is making up or Timothy is making up. It's also not a message for them to keep to themselves. There is this progression of leading and serving and sharing and entrusting to the next generation. And I want to encourage you, church, you are doing this. And I want to encourage you to keep doing it. In so many of our different ministries, you are sharing the word of God. If you're taking notes, write this down. Christ followers, pass it on. We don't hold it for ourselves. We pass it on. Christ followers, those of us that are following Jesus, we pass on the message that has been given to us, that has been entrusted to us. Christ followers, we pass it on. So many of you doing this, and I want to encourage you, if you are not passing it on, if you are not sharing and instructing younger believers, we have opportunities for you to do that. You can go to the Connection Center. Or maybe you go, man, I want somebody to pass it on to me. That is why we are here. We are here so that we can share the good news. We do it through teaching here in the big context. We also do it through groups where we are able to pass on the message and the good news of Jesus. Christ followers, pass it on. Many of you have friends or family members that are literally passing it on right now in our kids' ministry. And that is such a beautiful thing. And I want you to encourage them after the service. Say, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for passing it on today with our kids. And go watch the sermon because you missed it. Christ followers, pass it on. Christ followers, pass it on. And we continue. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus. So Paul is going to share three examples here of qualities that we should have as we are doing this. Remember, we are strengthened by the grace of God. We are passing it on, and there are qualities that we're going to have. The first thing is that we're going to be like a soldier. The qualities of the soldier here that are highlighted is that first, we are sharing in suffering. Life is going to be difficult. There's going to be things that we have to endure as we are obeying and following Jesus. So we share in suffering as a good soldier. And there's also a devotion that we see here. As we are following Jesus, we are to be as devoted soldiers. And the example that's given here in verse 4 is that soldiers don't get entangled in civilian pursuits. What does that mean? We don't focus on things that don't matter. We are focusing on Jesus. Why? Because our aim is to please the one who enlisted us. God has called us to do something, and we focus on him, not on these other things. Many people here could attest to the fact that being a soldier is hard work, and it's not a 9-to-5 job. At times, it can be a 24-hour-a-day. You are on call, ready to go when your commanding officer says to do something. The same thing is true for us. The next thing I want you to see is that Christ followers are always on call to accomplish God's mission. Christ followers are always on call to accomplish God's mission. The overall mission, the Great Commission that everyone will know about Jesus, that we will go into all of the world and preach the good news, and what God might be specifically asking you to do yourself. Christ followers always on call to accomplish God's mission as a devoted soldier. And I got to tell you, while we're looking at this verse, soldiers don't get entangled in civilian pursuits. Church, I got to tell you, there is a battle going on for the souls of people all over the world. There is a battle happening up here, and I gotta tell you, there's some civilian pursuits that we are entangled in way down here. We are fighting battles that don't matter. We are seeking to attain things that don't matter for eternity, and we're supposed to be like a devoted soldier trying to please God, not focus on all these other things. You might be focused on or entangled in the pursuit of a particular career or an amount of money, or maybe you're too busy arguing red versus blue. And what I want to tell you this morning is that you need to be devoted to God and not get entangled in this garbage down here. The mission is too great. There's too many things going on. And maybe the next step for some of you is that you just need to get off of TikTok. And if you don't know what TikTok is, then just get off Facebook. And if you don't have a Facebook, put down the remote control. Our brains are being flooded with so many things, it makes it difficult to know what's true or what's important or what we should prioritize. We are to be as devoted soldiers, pleasing God, not pleasing men. Don't get entangled in civilian pursuits. Our aim is to please God, not people. The second thing that we see that we are to be like is like an athlete. And we see this imagery all over the New Testament. Be disciplined, strive, keep going. But there's a specific quality that's mentioned here that's unique about this. It says an athlete is not crowned unless they compete according to the rules. So all of us running toward Jesus during our life, trying to seek the crown that will come at the end. And what he's saying here is that we need to compete according to the rules. Athletes way back when had to compete according to the rules in order to get the crown. Same thing is happening now. We must. What are some of the things that we need to do? We need to read God's word, obey God's word, spend time with the Lord. These are the things that we need to do as we are pursuing him, as we're enduring in grace, as we're passing on the word of God to others. We are to be like an honest and obedient athlete. You think of so many athletes now, they're amazing, but they just can't get it right. You think of this female sprinter just a few weeks ago competing to go to the Olympics, clocked the fastest time in the US, and later was disqualified because she didn't pass one of the tests, and she's not gonna get to compete in the Olympics. You think of Lance Armstrong and so many other people, amazing athletes, but they got there not on their own. So many of us, we look good, we look like good Christians. Are we actually obeying what God is telling us to do? And what this verse is saying is that you, like an athlete, need to do what God's telling you to do in order to win the prize that's going to come at the end of your life. So the question I would ask you is, are you? Are you obeying God's word? Are you running with God to attain the crown at the end? So we're to be like a devoted soldier, an obedient athlete. And we're also to be like a hardworking farmer. Now, a lot of us don't know a whole lot about farming, but some things that we can figure out about it. It's tough. You're doing things day and night on your own. An athlete, a lot of people viewing what they're doing, celebrating them. Even a soldier sometimes gets celebrated. Farmers probably don't get celebrated a whole lot. And just like what we're doing in ministry as we're sharing the gospel with other people, farmers do a lot of work and then wait. And they keep working the ground, but a lot of times the proof of what has grown takes weeks, months, or years to be seen, depending on what it is. Same thing with us. We are to be hard workers so that as it takes time and patience, as we are sharing the gospel with others, as we are enduring, we know it's going to take time and we are going to be hard working like a farmer, patiently waiting for the crops or the trees or whatever it is. So we are to be like a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And what's true about all of these things is that they require patience, discipline, endurance, and we are to be like these. We are to exemplify these qualities. And then in verse 7, Paul says, think over what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Think it over. As in, you got to keep reading it. You got to really ponder it and consider these words. Don't fly right past them. There's a lot of meaning here. There's a lot of meaning, some of which I covered, some of which maybe the Lord is speaking to you right now in your life. There is so much meaning here. Don't move on too quick. Think over what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding. Now, you might look at that as I did and go, wait, think, why would I think about it? Why wouldn't I just pray about it? And I think the answer is both. As we are spending time with God, as we are reading his word, what it might look like for you, I hope it's not read, pray, go. Read, pray, go. All right, I read it, I prayed, I'm out of here. My hope is that as the Lord is working in your life, that it's read, pray, think, pray, read, think, pray, 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 think, pray, read. There's a constant engagement with God and with his word so that you can understand what it is that God wants you to know about himself and what he wants you to do. So many of us reading our Bibles way too fast. Many of us consuming so many things, sermons and podcasts and all sorts of stuff. And what's the next thing? And what's the next thing? And I've been guilty of it too. Sometimes God just wants us to slow down and be with him. And you might spend weeks on one single verse, and maybe you memorize it and you commit it to memory so that it's just rolling around in there all the time. You're thinking, you're pondering. Oh man, that reminds me of another verse. Man, I'm thinking about how that God showed me his promise in another place. We are thinking through these things. I want to encourage you, don't move on too quickly just to get to the next thing. Think about what God says, both here in this text and maybe in other things. I was pondering this week about Francois' great message last week. Don't try doing things for God without being with God. Man, that's good stuff. I was thinking about that this week. It's just rolling around. It's not, oh, well, that's a good sermon. All right, let's move on to the next. The word of God deserves more time than that. And there is more that can be understood in our little brains reading something and then moving on. There just is. God is too great for us to just move on. And so I want to give you a little personal application right here in the middle. I want you to set a reminder for yourself right now to come back to this text and think on it and ponder and consider. Take your phone out right now or your planner or whatever you use and set an alarm. I'm being serious. Yes, pull out your phone in church. Set an alarm, put it in your calendar. Think over what God says or read God's word or come back to these verses, however you want to put it in there. Set an alarm, put it in your calendar. Maybe after you get home from church today after lunch or maybe after you sleep a little bit or maybe tonight before you go to bed. Don't move on from God's word. Think on it, ponder, pray. Don't move on so quickly. There is more than we have time to cover in this morning, and there's more that God wants to tell you specifically through these verses. Think over what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So now that you have that in your phones and your planner, I pray that you will do that later. Now, Paul takes a shift in verse 8. He says, these are the things that you're going to need to do. And in verse 8, he shifts to reasons to do it or why he should do it, to pass it on, to be strengthened, to always be on call to accomplish God's mission. So he continues in verse 8. He says, remember Jesus Christ, which kind of strikes It was kind of weird to me as I read it. I'm like, remember Jesus? Like, how could we forget? The reality is, we forget. Which is so counterintuitive because we're following Jesus. We're running after him. We're supposed to live our lives for him. And God thought that Paul needed to be reminded of Jesus. And Paul thought Timothy needed to be reminded about Jesus. And if they needed to be reminded about Jesus, then so do we. Or how much more do we need to be reminded about Jesus? As you are, Timothy, as you're enduring, church, as you're enduring, as you are being like a soldier and an athlete and a farmer, passing on the word of God to people, remember why you're doing it. Remember Jesus Christ. And he gives us two qualifiers. Remember Jesus, risen from the dead. We do not serve a God that is dead. We serve a God that is alive. And he came down to earth, lived the perfect life that we could not live, to pay for the sin that we could not pay on our own, so that we could believe on him and have life, so that we didn't have to be entangled in our sin anymore, but we can just run after him and have life both now and in the future. We serve a risen Savior. And we need to be reminded of this every single day. Remember Jesus, risen, and the offspring of David. What Paul is doing and what God is doing through Paul is he's accentuating two parts of Jesus. He's talking about his divinity or his godness by being risen from the dead. Jesus has dominion over death. He conquered death and the grave. And he's fully human. So he's fully God, fully human, meaning he can empathize with your pain and your suffering. Jesus came to earth and lived the perfect life that we could not live. God, Jesus is both fully God and fully man, and we remember that about Jesus. He comes from the line of David, which was promised, and God does what he says. It's a reminder of God's promises. So we remember Jesus, risen from the grave, the offspring of David. And this morning, many of you need this reminder. You need to be reminded that Jesus is who he says he is, that he gives us life. Some of you this morning may be feeling a little weak. Maybe you're coming in this week and your tank's a little empty. And I heard this quote this week and I want to share it with you. When your tank feels empty, remember that the grave is empty and the throne is occupied. When your tank feels empty, when you feel like you're running on empty, remember, Jesus rose from the grave and he now sits at the right hand of God the Father, praying for you, supporting you, wanting to spend time with you every single day. That is the God that we serve. We serve a risen God who knows what we're going through, who wants to fill us up and give us strength through his grace. Remember Jesus. Don't forget. Remember Jesus. And then he says, as preached in my gospel for which I am suffering. He said, I've said this before and I'm really struggling right now. Remember, in jail, he's suffering physically, likely mentally, having to remind himself about Jesus and that he is who he says he is. And then it says that he's bound by chains as a criminal. Because of what he's doing, because he's obeying God, he is being treated as a criminal. Literally bound up. I just imagine like cold metal, probably rusted and gross, just an uncomfortable place to be. Soldiers around him. He's suffering. He's exactly where God wants him to be, though. And he reminds himself of another thing. He says, I am bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. He's saying, regardless of my physical, whatever's going on with me, it is not stopping God. And what I see here for maybe some of you is that what you think might be limiting you is not necessarily limiting God. If God is asking you to do something, it is not limiting him. You might look at the external circumstances here on earth and go, man, I'm locked up, or maybe I don't have the religious freedom in a particular way to do exactly what I want. God's word has succeeded and gone on in countries outside of this one, where freedom of religion is not guaranteed. And I would argue that it even goes further when freedom of religion is not guaranteed. Paul is not succeeding here because the government is telling him, you got the go-ahead. God is succeeding in spite of this. He's saying, I am bound, but the word of the Lord is not bound. I'm reminded of that old hymn, almost 500 years old, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And there's this line that says, my body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. My body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. A mighty fortress is our God. God's word is not bound, cannot be limited by men, by anybody. God's word abounds. And then he says in verse 10, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He's saying, he's reminding himself, there are people that I need to make sure hear the gospel and have the opportunity to be saved. I need to endure so that they may obtain salvation. And there's a couple different ways to read this verse depending on your background and some things that you might think. And I just want to encourage you. This verse shows us the need to endure and to preach the gospel so that others may obtain salvation. That is the primary meaning of this text, so that they can spend eternity with Jesus in glory. It's our responsibility to share. If you're taking notes, one more thing for you to write down. Christ followers endure so that others can be saved. Why are we enduring? Why are we going through all of this? So that others may obtain salvation. Christ followers endure so that others can be saved. And then he concludes in these last verses. The saying is trustworthy. And then he gives these 4 points, the first 2 positive and the first 2 potentially negative. He says, if this, then this. If this, then this. The first 2 being very positive. If we have died with him, meaning if we have suffered, if we have endured, then we will live with him. So that's our responsibility, and then it's what God's going to do after the fact. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we endure this time, we will reign with him forever. And those are the good things. We see these, it's a reminder. As we are trying to obey, as we are being strengthened and passing it on and being on call to accomplish God's mission, we are remembering that the decisions that we make now impact our eternity. And these are good things. If we die now, we get to live later. And if we obey now, we get to reign later. And then there's 2 that provide a little bit of a warning to us. It says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. It means if we don't obey God and his word now, then he will deny us later. And this might sound a little extreme, but that's the reality. Sin keeps us apart from God. We need him. We need daily reliance on him so that we can be more like him, can obey him, and so that we don't deny him. And then the last verse here, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. There's 3 ways to read that. And all are true if you look at scripture. God can be faithful to his people, us. If we remain faithless, he'll be faithful to us. He can be faithful to his own righteousness, to himself, and God is faithful to himself. He can't stop being God. So he's faithful there. And he's also faithful to his own judgments. And there's a word of judgment here. If we deny him now, he will deny us later. So yes, God is faithful to us, but he is also faithful to himself and to what he says he's going to do. For he cannot deny himself. He can't stop being God. And this is a word of encouragement and a word of warning to us. Are you remembering Jesus? Are you remembering Jesus? Are you spending time with him? Are you being strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Or are you attempting to live under your own strength and your own power? Are you passing on the message of Jesus? Are you experiencing it first, and then are you passing it on? Are you living like a devoted soldier, always on call to accomplish what God has for you to do? And are you enduring in your life for the sake of those that need to be saved, that need to hear the gospel, and they're going to hear it from you? Not gonna hear it from us, maybe, but maybe people we don't even know that are in your circles, and God has you there so that you can tell them about Jesus. Are you enduring for them? As Christ followers, we have been entrusted with this message to pass it on. And as we close, I wanted to share a story that I think really encapsulates this, gives some meaning to what we're talking about here. I'd like to invite Bill Hood III up to the stage. Bill, we love you and your family, and in the midst of your grandfather passing away, and Bill, your father and the rest of your family here that you represent. It is so cool to be able to be here with you right now. In the 1970s, my grandfather and Bill's grandfather were friends, and still friends till recently. And in 1974, my grandfather, along with a few other people, shared the gospel with Bill's grandfather and led him to the Lord. And my grandfather, who's here today, passed it on to so many others, and in our family, and all the way down to me, so that I can now pass it on to others. And Bill, your grandfather, passed it on to your entire family and so many others, so that you stand here now, so that now 50, almost 50 years later, you and I have the opportunity to serve the Lord together right here in Boca Raton because a few people decided to pass it on. And church, what I want you to see is that this is why we do what we do. We stand here as a showcase for what God can do when we are faithful and obedient, when the word of God has been entrusted to us and we pass it on to other people. It has impact. That there is a reason that we are enduring what we're enduring, and we pass it on so that others may receive salvation. Like, this is it right here. And Bill, it is, I know this is a difficult week, and Hood family, I know this is a difficult week, but your family is exemplifying this exactly as we're talking about, and it is so cool to be a part of the story. And all of you are a part of the story as people that have been impacted by the influence of so many people, whether it's here at our church or maybe somewhere else, others pass it on to you. And it has now been given to you to endure in God's grace and pass it on to others. So will you pass it on to others? Bill, great to see you. We love you. There's a reason that we endure. Church, I want to pray for all of us right now. For those of us that need to be encouraged, that need to be strengthened, I pray that you'll be strengthened by the Lord and not by your own abilities, and that you will live this out, put it into practice. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the gift of salvation that we can't earn. We thank you for how good you are. I pray that even in the moments where we feel weak, that we will be reminded that we can be strengthened in you and by your grace alone. For those of us here that are not following you yet, I pray that they would see their need for you to turn from themselves and their sin and run toward you. And that people here would be able to be a part of that, passing it on. either in prayer now or in groups later or in conversations this week. We thank you that you are good. I pray that we would continue to endure, that we would be strengthened by your grace alone. For those of us that are already following you, I pray that we would continue running, that we would remember you. We thank you so much for the gift of grace that we don't deserve. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.